Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 59 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode, on Easter Sunday, the most glorious of all holy days of the entire year, I'm happy to address the following topics. First, the upcoming customs we might want to observe or appropriate for this upcoming Easter Friday and Easter Saturday. Secondly, the explanation on why the Gospel of John specifically on Easter Wednesday mentions 153 fish in that particular Gospel passage. It's something a lot of people don't think about, but I'm happy to share an answer to that today. And lastly, the forgotten Paschal commemoration of the cross at Lauds and Vespers. This is something that was also lost in the 1955 changes. So I go over that and I discuss ways for us to continue to live out the great Paschal mystery throughout all of this Easter season. But before I dive into the topics of this episode, I would like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by CatechismClass.com. CatechismClass.com is the leader in online Catholic catechism classes, offering everything from online children's catechesis courses to adult continuing education if you feel like you need to continue to learn the faith even as an adult. We also are proud to offer RCIA classes, marriage preparation, baptismal preparation classes, confirmation prep, quinceañera preparation, catechist training courses, and so much more. It is, above all, never too late to study the fullness of the Catholic faith, and CatechismClass.com is truly the gold standard in authentic Catholic faith formation online. Please check out their special Easter study course now, which is currently available for 25% off with discount code EASTER25. Thank you, CatechismClass.com, for sponsoring this episode. Now, before I dive into the first topic, though, of this episode, I must wish everybody a most glorious festival of Easter. Christ is risen. He is truly risen. Christus resurrexit, resurrexit sicut dixit. After so long of a Lenten fast and preparation, we can look back and say, we did it. We completed this marathon. And even if Lent didn't go the best that we had hoped, let us now relish the great joy of our Lord's victory over sin and over death. In 2018, I published on the A Catholic Life website a link to a video which went over five motives for the resurrection of our Lord. And I think it's important to remember right now those five motives. One, the exaltation of God. Two, satisfaction for our sins. Three, for our hope. Four, to set our lives in order so we may walk in newness of life. And five, for our justification so that we may participate in the divine nature of God. That is what we celebrate today on this, the most sacred of all days in the year. And thus, I wish everybody a most blessed Easter. And I thank you for listening and spending some of your Easter Sunday to this, listening to this particular podcast. Now, also, before I go into the first topic of this episode, I do have to point out that episode 8, which I released last year, was also published on Easter Sunday. And in that particular episode, I went over a lot of things that I otherwise would have covered now. So rather than repeat a lot of this, I will have a link in the show notes to episode 8 because it's also an episode I highly encourage everybody to listen to today. In that episode, I went over the customs for Easter week, various food activities and non-food activities, the custom of Easter greetings, and so much more. I also went over the Agnus Dei sacramental, which has not been blessed since the time of Pope Pius XII, but it is a truly powerful, rare, and unique sacramental, which has its traditional origin in this Easter week. I also went over the Easter duty, what it is and when we as Catholic have to fulfill it under pain of sin. And lastly, I went over the fact that there is no incompatibility between abstinence and Paschaltide, and I reminded everybody that Friday abstinence is required even in Paschaltide, and we should plan to abstain from meat this upcoming Friday, and we might also want to continue to do so voluntarily on Wednesdays and Saturdays, as some of us are accustomed to do so year-round, but Friday abstinence remains mandatory throughout Eastertide. All of that was covered in episode 8, so I'll have a link to it in the show notes to those who want to learn more. So, on to the first topic of this particular episode. I specifically wanted to cover the customs for Easter Friday and Easter Saturday. And I do that because in the episode 8 from last year, I didn't have time to go into those. And in particular, they focused on two things, Easter pilgrimages and Sabato in Albis. So first of all, Easter pilgrimages. And this concerns Easter Friday. So on Easter Friday, traditionally the faithful in Austria would spend the day in celebration of the Lord's resurrection by making day pilgrimages. And the faithful would sometimes walk for hours preceded by crosses and banners, sometimes even 10 hours each way. And in some sections of Germany and Austria, the pilgrimage would occur on horseback as the faithful would be accompanied by a band playing Easter hymns in joyous fashion. How we might want to adopt this is understand that all of this week is Easter, not just today and Easter Sunday, but this whole week is something that we should be celebrating. On episode 8 last year, I went over in detail how Easter Monday and Easter Tuesday were also holy days of obligation for centuries. In fact, Easter Monday was a holy day of obligation up until the early 1900s on the universal calendar. So let's make it a point to attend Mass as often as we can this week, participate in Easter food customs, go out, especially if the weather is nice, and go on pilgrimages, visit shrines in your area, visit churches. Take this time to thank Almighty God for the great triumph that truly is Easter. This is a more important holiday than Christmas, and we should treat it as such by truly observing as much rest, joy, and pious activities this Easter week in celebration. Now, the second thing, though, is that this upcoming Saturday is traditionally called Sabato in Albis. And there's an ancient custom that this is based around. The custom is that those who received the sacrament of baptism on Holy Saturday were to wear the same white garment throughout the octave. And for this reason, Easter week is also called White Week in the Western Church. And for Greek Catholics, it's still sometimes called Bright Week. The neophytes, those who had recently been baptized, would attend Mass together each day of the octave, and the bishop would address them with special instruction and words of encouragement after Mass. And that would continue until Saturday of this week, of Easter week, when they would lay aside their white garments for regular clothes and assume their place amongst all the faithful. For that reason, Saturday in the octave of Easter was called Sabato in Albis, which is Latin for Saturday in white. This is what Dom Guérinier says regarding this, quote, "In Rome, the station is at the Lateran Basilica, the mother and mistress of all churches. It is close to the baptistry of Constantine, where 8 days back, the neophytes received the grace of regeneration. The basilica wherein they are now assembled is that from which they set out during the still and dark night to the font of salvation, led on by the mysterious light of the Paschal torch. It was to this same church that they returned after their baptism, clad in white robes, and assisted for the first time at the entire celebration of the Christian sacrifice, and received the body and blood of Christ Jesus. No other place could have been more appropriate for the station this day, whereon they were to return to the ordinary duties of life. Holy Church sees assembled around her these newborn children. It is the last time she will see them in their white garments, and she looks at them with all the affections of a joyful mother. They are most dear to her as the fruit of heaven's own giving, and during the week she has frequently given expression to her maternal pride in canticles, such as she alone can sing." End quote. This upcoming Saturday, I especially encourage everybody to please make some time to pray extra prayers for those who have converted to the Catholic faith and have received the sacrament of baptism this particular Easter. Some people are still preparing for baptism, it is true. There is a custom, certainly a baptism's occurring in Pentecost as well, and it, you know, also throughout the octave for those for one reason or another who could not receive baptism on Holy Saturday. But by and large, most people did receive the sacrament of baptism if they were converting as an adult this past Saturday. So let us pray for them. That is a way for us to take this custom and adopt it to our own times, to make prayers and sacrifices this Saturday for those who have truly ransomed death and received the grace of regeneration. Now, the second topic for this episode is the unique mention of the 153 fish in the Gospel of John. Now, 153 is a very unique number. It's taken from John, the 21st chapter, verses 6 through 11. And this passage, which is read in, of course, the traditional Mass, the traditional Latin Mass on Easter Wednesday, is unique for many reasons. One of these is that rather strange precision, 153 fish. Typically, when we read the scriptures, we see were numbers like 12, 40, 144, or other numbers that are largely symbolic. But the number 153 is strangely precise amongst all the scripture passages in the entire Bible. And yet it is not without a deep meaning as explained by the church fathers. St. Augustine says that the catch of fish tells of the salvation of men, but men cannot be saved without keeping the Ten Commandments. But on the account of the fall, man cannot even keep the commandments without the help of grace and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, the number seven signifies holiness, since God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. But 10 plus 7 equals 17, and if all the numbers from 1 to 17 are added up, such as 1 plus 2 plus 3, etc. to 17, that equates to 153. Hence, the 153 fish signify that all the elect are to be saved by the gift of grace, 7, and the following of the Ten Commandments, 10. St. Cyril, instead, breaks the 153 into 100, the greater number of Gentiles to be saved, plus 50, the smaller number of Jews to be saved, plus 3, the Trinity who saves all. Others follow St. Cyril, but modify this as follows. 100 for the multitude of married lay faithful in the church, plus 50, the many faithful who commit themselves later in life to continence, either living as widows or living with their spouses, brother and sister, plus 3, the precious few who commit their whole lives to celibacy as virgins, which equates to 153, the whole church taken together as a single body. But perhaps most convincing of all is the theory of St. Jerome. It is thought that at that time, the time in which the scriptures were written, that there were only 153 species of fish in the entire world. Hence the disciples caught 153 fish, signifying that men of every class of society and time would be saved through the gospel. I personally find the most likely explanation to be that offered by St. Jerome, and rather than merely admire the hidden meaning here, we should realize what it impresses upon us, lay Catholics and consecrated religious alike, the need to use our resources and time to bring the faith to other souls. Through our efforts of planting seeds, admonishing sinners, correcting the doubtful, and explaining traditional Catholic teaching to the erring, we can bring closer to our time all nations and peoples to be united in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the bark of Peter, that is, the Catholic Church. Now, the last topic I'm happy to address in this episode on this most glorious Easter Sunday is the forgotten Paschal commemoration of the cross at Lauds and Vespers. So if you have been praying Lauds and Vespers from the Divine Office, it's also called the Breviary. Of course, these are two of the canonical hours said throughout the day, said by priests, nuns, religious, etc., but lay people can pray them as well. I've recommended them before many times. Whether you want to purchase an actual set of breviaries to say at home, I use the Baronius one, which I modified to bring it in more conformity with the pre-1955 calendar and rubrics, or you could just use ones online. For instance, the website Definium Officium has the traditional breviary on there, and it has it for not just the 1962 rubrics, but before the changes in 55, as well as some historical ones. They also have a companion app. It's all entirely free, and it's something I would encourage. But here's what I wanted to talk about now. So if you're accustomed to praying even the traditional divine office, so you go to the traditional Latin Mass, and you regularly have a 1962 Missal, so you pray the office from and in accordance with the 1962 calendar. Something that you're not going to find is this, the Paschal commemoration of the cross, which is prayed at Lauds and Vespers from the Monday after Low Sunday, so that's going to be Monday after the octave of Easter is ended, until the Vigil of the Ascension, whenever the office is of a simple or semi-double rite except during octaves. What this ultimately does is show the intimate connection between the cross and the resurrection, which was one of those 1955 changes that it was suppressed really by the revolutionaries of that time. And this beautiful prayer also helps us understand that we are still in Paschotide for that entire time. So if it's not a very high-ranking feast day, it's not in an octave during Easter, we should commemorate at Lauds and Vespers this particular Paschal season. And that's what this does. It includes an antiphon which says, "He who was crucified has risen from the dead and has redeemed us. Alleluia." With a verse and response of, "Say among the nations, Alleluia, for the Lord has reigned from the tree of the cross. Alleluia." And then this prayer. O God, who hast willed that thy Son undergo the burden of the cross for us in order to cast out the power of the enemy, grant to us thy servants that we may attain the grace of his resurrection. Through the same our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, world without end. Amen. I bring this up because I think it's important that we continue to live out the Paschal mystery all of Eastertide. There's so much focus throughout Lent, rightfully so, in preparing for Easter and doing penance. And now Easter is here. We might, and we hopefully should, celebrate Easter this entire week, this whole octave. But after it's over, we might want to just go back to the regular old Catholic living, a regular old living that we're in, and forget that we are still in the Paschal season, which continues on longer than even Lent did. So one thing we can do to call that to mind is to put on a prayer card. So I literally typed out these particular prayers, put it on an index card, taped it on there, and I keep it in my breviary. You can keep it wherever you say your morning prayers and pull it out and say it each morning and night to recall this particular Paschal season. I think that's something that everybody can do. Even if you're not praying Lauds and Vespers, it's a great way to call to mind that we are in a truly glorious season, that the Paschal season lasts longer. It goes from Easter Sunday and it ends at the end of the Pentecost octave. So this is something that we can do to continue to live out these mysteries in a profound way. Thank you for listening, everybody. Again, please check out episode 8 in the past for much more on ways to celebrate on this particular Easter Sunday. I wish all of you a most blessed and glorious Easter. Thank you so much for listening, and let us strive for greater holiness this and every week. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.
Quid omnis peccata mundi, dona